good to be back with you. And I'm sharing something about God's rest that is so important in my own life. And I trust that I can share in such a way that it will be helpful to you. Our Father, we thank you for your plan and purpose in each of our life, each Christian here to know what it is to rest in you, and we ask for direction by your Holy Spirit as we share in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been on my mind to tie together the rest that God has explained in the Old Testament, which was a lot of activity. It's not, but it's his activity. And I want to look at, but I really want to tie that also with the passage in Matthew 11, where Jesus said he invites us to come to him and exchange the burden that we're carrying with his rest, which again is not inactivity, but it's his activity. And I just trust the Lord to make kind of plain what that's all about. It's a life-changing, really, for a Christian. You may be appropriating that already, and I trust so. But we just want to share concerning that. There's a way that God has used Old Testament stories to give us insight in how to live in a day of grace. And so we want to just look at that. And in case you're in Hebrews, I want to go to the chapter right before it for just a moment. In verse 7 of chapter 3, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. They provoked God. In the day that they provoked God, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. But take heed, brethren, that there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So the writer of Hebrews is taking this Old Testament story, and he quoted out of Psalm 95, 8, 9, the same thing. And he said, let that be a lesson to us that we do not provoke the Lord. After all he does for us, all that we learn about him, and then we don't follow him as we should. And so... So I want to remind us of that. You know that through Joseph, the Israelite family ended up in Egypt. God planned to make them a nation, a growing nation. And then they were in bondage. They were servants to a new Pharaoh. And they were helping him build his treasure cities. They were slaves in Egypt, and God wanted time to bring them out. He sent Moses to lead them out. They were in terrible bondage. And what I want to just remind you of is what he told Moses that he told them. It's in Exodus 6. Of his plan to bring them out, and, well, hear what he says. He told Moses this, go back and tell my people. They are they're laboring and they're so discouraged. And I will take you, let's see, I want to, at verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you for a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people. I will be with you. I will be your God, and ye shall know that I am your Lord your God, which bringeth you out. Then in verse 8, I will bring you in unto the land that I swear to give it to you, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I will give it to you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. So basically he said, I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to be your God. I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to give you the land. And that's very important to know that he said that he would do it. He would give it to them. So they had his word. Moses went and spoke to the people in Israel. They couldn't take it in because they were in hard bondage. But he brought them out. He opened the Red Sea. They saw his mighty work. He gave them his law there in the wilderness. He was with them day and night. A pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. And so they came after probably about 18 months. They came to what's called Kadesh Barnea. They sent 12 spies in. Go 40 days, check the land out, and come back and tell us what it looks like. God's going to give it to you. And you know the story, but 10 said we can't do it. 2 said, Joshua and Caleb, we're well able to. If God does it, we can do it. They said, no, we can't do it. It's too, how could we? We're just a vagabond people. How could we go in? I think one of the great hindrances to them was Jericho. What would he do with cities like that? And so then he, the writer of Hebrews takes that and says, you watch out. You see what God has done, and now he's asking you to do something, and all of a sudden you're going to look by sight. And that's what his rest comes by faith. That generation missed the wonder of what God wanted to do with them. And so God says, they're not going to know it then. They were ready to go back to Egypt. And they missed God's rest. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. Just challenge yourselves not to come up to a point and say, well, I can't do it. If God has led you, God will do it. And he will be faithful to his word. So God's rest was when they did go in. God's rest was filled with activity, but it was his activity. We were in Joshua in Sunday school this morning. I want to go over there just for a moment to a very key place in Joshua. It's in chapter 5 and verse 15. Just a moment. You know, Joshua was by Jericho. I believe that Jericho, seeing that city, a walled city, and they saw giants, they saw all kinds of things that they didn't feel there's any way they could do it. And it came to pass, Joshua was by Jericho. He lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there was a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? Who are you? Who are you? Which side are you on? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Right outside of Jericho, you are on holy ground. And I was checking it out, and I think most all the commentators would agree that that Joshua was in talking indeed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that was there to take over. and so I just read it. Pardon me. Donald Campbell, in Bible Knowledge Commentary, said it this way. It seems clear that Joshua was indeed talking to the angel of the Lord, another appearance in the Old Testament times of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was to take over. God's rest is when he is in charge and when he leads a way to victory. Lord's willing, I want to share some lessons from that. When they let him lead, they had victory always. When they took over themselves, or they were afraid of a situation, or they by sight, that became a problem to them. So after they retook the land, Joshua had a word that I would just share in chapter 23. He's ready to go home to be with the Lord. But Joshua shared this testimony of the Lord in 23:14. And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and ye know in your hearts and in your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass, and not one thing has failed thereof. God's faithfulness to lead you in what seems to sight to be impossibility. And we all run into situations where we don't know what to do. There's so much evidence and so much of the Word of God that God wants us to let him carry our burdens. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying you get all concerned about all these things in daily life. And he said, and he pointed out, God takes care of the birds. God takes care of his creation. Won't he take care of you? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And so I think it's significant that Joshua was by Jericho, and he then told them how they're going to take Jericho. He had his way of doing it. And to their way of thinking, there's no way that we can. Joshua and Caleb, they believed God. So Jesus invites all that are carrying heavy burdens to exchange those burdens for his rest. And I want to just remind us again. I'm tying these two together because our tendency is to think his rest is something different than it really is. It is activity, but it's his activity. Moment here. Just three simple verses, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I didn't know what kept coming to me. Put that picture out there. It's in the office here. There's some people, they, what's a yoke look like? In the word that it came from says to come near, to so it's just getting in a relationship with Jesus Christ where you're depending on him. And he says, I'm going to give you rest. And that's, and he says, we have a part. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I think as a Christian, there you're up against things that are out of your control, or more than you can do. And what the Lord is really wanting to do with our lives is have us join up with him and let him work through us. I guess, I think, whether it's your work situation, whether it's your family, whether it's what God has called you to do, some things you really can't do it. And you know you can't. But the danger, and I think the exhortation in Hebrews, exhort them daily, don't just figure it out yourself. Choose to join up with Jesus Christ. Let him work through you and depend on him. And it's become, to me, it's been really a wonderful thing to yoke up with him every day. I don't know what that means. I don't know what's going to come today, but it'll be directed by him. I've decided that if you yoke up with Jesus, you'll be where you should be, doing what you should do, when you should do it. And more than that, by his wisdom, by his power. I know that I've been in situations in a spiritual battle, I wouldn't know what to do, but the Lord prompts you. You can know the basic facts, but in this particular situation, that God will guide. That's what I think is so important in his rest. His rest in retaking Canaan was full of battles, but as he directed it, and he did it through Joshua and the people. Our life, if we choose to come to Jesus with it, what an invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And the same Jesus that I believe was in control in retaking Canaan is now here, and we come to him, and he will give us his victory. He will guide us in his way. And I guess I just want to tie those two together, because it's his rest. His rest is active. His rest is busy. But it's under his direction and power. And that's why I chose song, Jesus, I am resting, resting. I'm depending on you. It's his rest. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your plan, your purpose, to work through your children, to empower them, to strengthen them, and to accomplish your will and purpose. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for exchanging the heavy burden with your rest, and you take over in a special way. And I pray for every Christian here to know the joy of your rest, Lord Jesus. We thank you, and thank you for showing us a picture in the Old Testament of the same thing that goes on now in our lives and what you lead us to. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.